Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Today is August the 22nd, so we're moving ever closer to Labor Day. I have as my returning guest, Patricia Simone, and she is a certified hypnotherapist. She's a Reiki practitioner and an intuitive counselor. She also is an energy healer, which is a unique ability that we both share. Patricia uses her combined modalities of healing to help her clients live happier and more joy-filled lives. So welcome back, Patricia. I'm glad to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you, Lucy. It's nice to be back today with you.
We're going to be discussing health and hypnosis today. But before we do that, why don't you let everybody know how to contact you, and then we'll give them that same information at the end of the show.
Sure, great. Thank you. I'm excited to announce I've just relocated. So I'm still in Palm Harbor, but I'm located inside East-West Healing Solutions on US 19. And I can be reached by cell phone at 631-942-0506 or visit my website, www.thejewelsofknowledge.com.
Why did you call it the Jewels of Knowledge? I'm just curious.
Yes, I know a lot of people are curious, but I was trying to think of the name of the business. Oh, are we okay?
I'm not sure. I'm not getting the sound that I want to get, but I'm getting it over here.
Okay.
Interesting. So, go ahead.
Okay. So, while I was deciding what to name the company, how it can be frustrating to come up with the right name, but in my meditations, one of my guides there was named Jewels. And so, also what I'm promoting is self-knowledge. And so, it sort of just popped into my head one day. As I had my mind was quiet, Jewels of Knowledge. And so I thought that'd be a great name for the business. And that was the inspiration behind it.
Well, that looks like to me a good inspiration to have, because we all need jewels of knowledge or little nuggets of knowledge or something to help us along our way. So how does hypnosis and health kind of work together?
So one of the ways that we can discuss hypnosis and health is primarily starting with some self-talk. If we're to understand that our subconscious mind holds all of our belief systems, it sort of feeds the ego into some of that self-talk that's going on there. So if we're believing that the treatment may never help us, the effects of the treatment may not be as beneficial as if we were conditioning ourselves to say this is going to work.
Right.
So it's a form of self-hypnosis regarding the treatment. It's also another way to reduce stress and anxiety, learning how to calm and quiet the mind. And when we can calm and quiet the mind, our body follows. So as we're instructing our mind to quiet, you know, our body learns how to quiet down. And when we can quiet our body, we have more healthful and restorative benefits.
Right. One of the things that we have, or I have on my website at synergyconnectionradio.com, is if you go into the Boomer website, there's this little device called an inner balance device, and I think I showed it to
you. Yes,
and that has a lot to do with calming the mind to get into heart coherence, because if you are just rattling around in your head, you know, with one thing after another, then obviously your body and your mind are kind of fighting each other.
Right.
And so when you do learn how to quiet the mind, and hypnosis can do that, and I'm actually thinking that the inner balance device is a little bit like your own hypnotic trainer, because you focus on that mandala and right. you're breathing with it. So you have to right. be focused, and you have to have your mind not occupied with other kinds of thoughts.
Right. And so if I recall the device, there's also a monitor that tells you where mm-hmm, you are mm-hmm. in your relaxation.
Right.
So not only do you have the visual and the technique that mm-hmm. you're learning, but you can see the results
right.
as well.
Right.
And you can see and feel the results in your own relaxation, in your own meditation. When we understand that our brain is working on overdrive mm-hmm. and we can't stop those thoughts that just keep rattling around up there, once we're aware of that happening and that we have control over it, mm-hmm. it can totally take another twist. Mm-hmm. I had a client who was in recently who had a fear of flying. And so we went through several sessions, and my one part of her homework was self-talk like it's your job. Positive self-talk as though it's your job. So she said, "What does that mean?" And I said, "Well, while you're thinking about all these fears that existed before, mm-hmm. you are just allowing them to happen.
Right.
Now you're taking control of them, and you're going to start to talk to yourself and say, oh, everything is fine. You can do this. You become your own cheerleader." Mm-hmm. And she laughed, and she said, "Well, doesn't that sound silly?" I said, "Well, would you prefer to tell yourself how horrible things are, or would you prefer to say how great things are?"
Right.
And it's just a shift. We're still talking to ourselves.
Right.
But we get the choice, once we know we can, make the shift to the positive. Mm-hmm. And then you can physically see yourself starting to calm down, physically feel it going, that's another way to look at things. It's also a shift in perspective.
Right. I know that many, many years ago, there was a place in California, and it worked with children that were terminal. Mm-hmm. Evidently, doctors throughout the United States knew about this particular location. And when they couldn't do anything more, maybe for a child, they would tell the family, you know, that this institute existed and they might want to go and, you know, explore mm-hmm. it and see if it would work for them to take their child to this particular place. And I think it was in, I want to say, the Sausalito area. I know it was right outside of San Francisco, but it's been a lot of years, and I don't know whether, you know, the center is there, but it was mm-hmm. called the Center for Attitudinal Healing. Uh-huh. So I don't know whether it's still there or not. But what they found is children, more than adults, have the ability to do exactly that. You know, they can talk to themselves and they visualize much better
right.
than, you know, adults who have already kind of poisoned the way they think
right.
and mm-hmm. are more doubting Thomases. Mm-hmm. So the kids that did go, whereas the doctors that sent them were saying, you know, there's only a 10% chance mm-hmm. that they'll actually survive their illness.
Right.
The ones that actually went had a 90% chance mm-hmm. of surviving because they harnessed their brains.
Right.
And they started seeing, you know, the good guys in the white hats, so to speak, running through their blood vessels,
right.
chasing off cancer cells or telling their bodies, you know, you are healing, you're getting better, you're getting stronger.
Right.
And so the kids actually turned their health around. And so that's pretty much what you're saying with hypnosis, I think, is that
right.
you can turn your body around if you give it the right tools. Now,
right.
having said that, you and I both know that, you know, the mind is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we call it the Synergy Connection Show, because
right.
it has to be the mind and the physical and the emotional. Because
right.
if you just have one of those components working for you, you're still going to struggle.
That's correct, yeah. Your mind... So you have your emotions, you have your physical body, and your thoughts can change everything for
mm-hmm,
you. So
mm-hmm.
once you start to get the understanding that our brain will do exactly what we ask it to do,
right.
it wants to help us. It wants to keep us safe. It wants to promote well-being, mind, body, emotions, soul. And so when we develop the awareness and the understanding that that's possible, our whole lives can change. We can understand, why do we have back pain? Is this psychosomatic? If there's no
structural reason,
structural
right.
reason
yeah. mm-hmm.
then that's an emotion that's sitting there feeding our thoughts.
Right.
And so if we were to continue to think, let's say in the case of cancer treatments, no, chemo's not going to work. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm doing this in the first place. Chemo will make me sick. Chemo will make my hair fall out. You're actually programming your subconscious mind to be sick when you have the chemo. To, yes, those side effects may happen, but you're increasing that likelihood mm-hmm. by that self-talk mm-hmm. because the media and all the things that we know about chemo are right there in your face, and it causes great fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't come from a place of fear when we're looking to heal and restore peace within our body.
Right.
So, right. But we can get our brain on board and allow our body to be more susceptible to accepting the healing. So when we have that IV in, and we can see in our mind's eye, create that vision of following the path of the chemo, following it to the tumor. Even with children and adults, we can use little Pac-Men too and shrinking
mm-hmm,
it down,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you're teaching your brain what to do with the poison, so mm-hmm, to speak, mm-hmm. that's coming into the body.
Right.
And allowing that pathway to flow at least in a more positive direction.
Right. Well, one of the things, you know, Bob Gilpatrick is one of the owners of Boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I have done 5 shows now. And the 4th show was actually on, I think, autoimmune disorders. And the last one is on In Defiance of Death and Dying is the title of it. But one of the things that we do know is there are actually several forms of chemotherapy, and some are more disastrous to the body, let's mm-hmm. say, than others. But if you are giving your body the resources, mm-hmm. Like vitamin C, other kinds of foods to
right.
assist your body, that while you're going through chemo, you can kind of use that hypnotherapy type language
right.
with your body and say, okay, the chemo is poisoning the tumor. It's going to kill the tumor.
Right.
But I'm also assisting you by giving you these other nutritions
right.
that are going to help build you up so that you overcome that particular chemotherapy.
Right.
And that can make a difference too. I think sometimes when we feel that we are really at the mercy of the disease, whatever the disease is,
mm-hmm.
and that we have no control over
right.
how we come through it, then the disease does get a firmer grip
right.
on our body. So, you know, using self-talk, using hypnotic statements.
Right. And getting into the state of hypnosis is that feeling. Usually the way that I work with my clients, getting into that sensation of that just waking up
mm-hmm.
or just falling asleep
mm-hmm.
is the time that your mind is more open.
Mm-hmm.
Or sitting quietly with yourself and having a determined conversation about what do I want to work on here.
Right.
And your subconscious mind is more alert. The ego is asleep.
Uh-huh.
The ego is out of the way because the ego does a lot of preventing things from coming in. It's a non-believer,
right.
if you will.
Right.
It also wants to keep you safe, but it's skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're in a state of relaxation, our subconscious mind is open, we have lots of time to program our thoughts, thinking of our subconscious mind as our motherboard,
mm-hmm.
if you will. So we're programming, just like we would be programming our computer, we're programming our thoughts to accept what it is we'd like to accomplish.
Mm, that's interesting. How I think a lot of kids that are having difficulty in school,
mm-hmm.
and I know that doesn't have anything to do with health necessarily, but...
Right.
Some of the things that we do on a school psychological level
mm-hmm.
is to help them think of themselves as winners in
mm-hmm.
the learning game. Because, you know, if in preschool and VPK, maybe a teacher inadvertently or maybe one of their classmates said something negative like,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, you're so slow or oh, you'll never get this.
Right.
They begin, programming at such an early age
right.
that I'm not a successful student.
Yes,
so.
Because children are so innocent
mm-hmm.
and open. They haven't been exposed to criticism or what they know to be criticism. So they can only learn what's being told to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no way to really be discerning
right.
at that point. So as long as a comment is coming in and we're accepting it to be true, and maybe we do then start to look at ourselves compared to the rest of the world.
Right.
And we can then start to create some belief systems based on other people's words.
Right.
Right. That may not have anything to do with us. That's just going on with those people. But a child has no way of knowing what those other people's problems are.
That's very true. That's very true. Everything is personalized.
Yes. Everything is very personalized.
Yeah.
But what does work is getting into hypnosis with some children that I've worked with, but mostly I work with 14 and up.
Mm-hmm.
What does a winner look like?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And how do you feel?
And what do they think a winner does look like?
Well, it's all individualized. Okay. So everybody has their own idea of what a winner looks like.
Okay. What are they commonly saying to you if you ask them that question?
Well, the recent one was like a superhero.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like that looks like a... I feel like a superhero. But if you ask them, where do you feel that sensation of winning in your body, let's go back to the last time that you felt like a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And they go in very quickly. They know where it is. Their files are not as big as ours.
Right.
And so, okay, so this, they'll explain the event, whatever it was. And as you're standing there remembering, when you felt like a winner, where did you feel that in your body?
Mm-hmm.
Because those emotions are so readily available.
Right.
And I felt the strength across my shoulders. I felt it in my hand as I held the prize.
Mm-hmm.
I felt winning in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Now let's reconnect with what winning feels like. So is winning a feeling, a thought, or an idea, or a picture? And the child will tell you what is real for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you use that to reframe it as they're coming out. Bring that feeling in when you get a good grade on your test, when you score a goal, when you're participating as a team,
mm-hmm.
right? Everybody in the team is a winner if you're working together.
Right, right.
Right? So, you know, and helping children really redesign what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whose thoughts matter? Our own thoughts matter.
Right. And that's probably one of the most valuable lessons that you can possibly learn at any age,
right,
is your thoughts matter the most.
That's right, exactly, because all of us adults, we all start to think about, well, what is, I can't do this because what will that person think of me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when we realize we're not living anybody else's existence, experience, but our own,
mm-hmm.
then we're comfortable with our decisions.
Right. I would think, and I'm sure you do this, but this thought is just crossing my mind, that if you're talking to somebody who's feeling not successful, you know, maybe it's in relationships, maybe it's in their job, maybe it's in some other part of their life, but if you help them redefine what success is,
right.
because they have this image, you know, again, of success is a six-figure income. Success is living in this location.
Okay.
Success is driving this kind of car. But, you know, maybe success can be redefined.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, when we go through life, success looks different at 15
mm-hmm.
than it does at 25.
Mm-hmm.
But we've created a belief system at 15 years old of what we think is successful. And at 25, while we are working to accomplish that sense of success, and we're encountering other things that are trying to come into our lives, if it doesn't look like success, we may turn it away.
Right.
But we mature and we have life experiences that sort of mold us along our path.
Mm-hmm.
But if we hold true to one form of success or one ideal, we're not really opening up to what's really our potential.
Right.
So we have to update our software, so to speak, right? We have to keep moving forward in life and keep understanding, like, well, that idea of the success was great at 15, and we worked on it really hard for, let's say, 5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe you've reached that level of success, or maybe you haven't. But say 10 years later, you're starting to struggle with your idea of success. How do you move on from that?
Mm-hmm.
We need to create... Now what's next? Allowing that, okay, that might have looked good then, but now that I'm older and wiser, it looks a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So now you sit in meditation, start to think about what your goals are. What does success look like? Another way of saying it too is people come into me and they want to say, they say, I just want to be happy. What does happy look like?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just want to be it. Well, what are the things now that you need to be happy? And that's the same thing that can be said for success, because what you thought was successful can certainly change. If you don't think about what it looks like, how are you going to know that you're there?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? With happiness, love, success. What do those things look like today? They're ever changing.
Right.
Right? That's the only thing we know, that's for sure. Everything is always changing.
For a lot of people that are over the age of, let's say, 65,
mm-hmm.
As they're looking at their lives behind them, you mm-hmm. know, their work life, their raising family life, their romance life, whatever that is, at 65 and beyond, you know, I hear older people talking all the time about, I wish I had done more of,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll name certain things that they wish they had done more of. And, you know, we've always heard that at the end of your life, you're not mm-hmm. going to probably wish that you had accumulated more money or mm-hmm. that you had, I don't know, you know, bought bigger homes or had fancier cars. You're going to look and say, I wish I'd had more time with the people that I loved.
Right.
You know, I wish I had maybe seen more sunsets mm-hmm. or sunrises, or that maybe you had traveled and seen places
right.
that you could have seen, but you chose to do other things that now you can't do anymore.
Right. That's true. A lot of people do go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of, you know, in the 60s and beyond, when mm-hmm. we have finished our career and we're looking towards retirement, right? It's the same as looking at what did we think our retirement would look like? When we as human beings look at our retirement, what's the most common thing that people look at? Will I have enough money in the bank?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have worked with people who, yeah, they've got all the money in the world that can support them comfortably, but they don't know what to do with themselves now.
Right. And they, volunteering is one way that they can
right.
have more meaningful lives. But
right. But volunteering doesn't take up all those 40 hours
mm-hmm.
of your work week. Right.
Right. Right.
So it's redeveloping that. And that's the time. Well, even that's a point in time when we have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are grown. They're off living their lives. We've retired. And a lot of people do develop now what? And so to avoid those thoughts in the dying years, let's start to shift our focus and say, well, what can we do now?
Mm-hmm.
What are those things that we wanted to do? A lot of people don't know.
Right, right. And they're having to redefine who they are today without their
right.
job. And, you know, you and I both know the empty nest syndrome.
Right.
You know, with, oh my goodness, I don't have to cook for the kids anymore, and I don't have to do
yes.
their laundry, and I don't have to clean up after them. But I think redefining who we are
mm-hmm.
early on and
right.
and being able to have that roadmap that kind of says
right.
we're here today, where right. would you like to be in 10 years?
Right.
And maybe designing a life that leads you to that location so
right.
you don't get there abruptly and then
right.
going, oh my goodness, I'm here now.
Right.
What do I do?
Exactly. And, you know, even starting from, let's just start with retirement years, right? And you know, when we can start earlier, everybody's on a different spot in their
mm-hmm.
path.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it does come down to one partner retires and the other one doesn't.
Right.
And what has that conversation looked like before? What expectations does the retiree have of the spouse?
Right.
What freedoms and things are the expectations real? Have they been spoken or unspoken? And coming into retirement years, there can be a lot of letdown,
mm-hmm.
not with our financial portfolio, but with the way our life goes.
Right.
So if we can sit down at that point and say, okay, I've got all this time, we can only golf so much or go to the beach so much, what will give it value?
Mm-hmm.
And really sit with that and allow, okay, what do I like? And if we don't know, what's the best way to do that is to go out and explore.
Right.
You know, and check it off the list.
Right. Well, our topic today, you know, is kind of like using hypnosis with health. And so that's a pretty good segue,
mm-hmm.
you know, into looking at this. Because if you are, let's say, in your 40s or your 50s, and you still have years ahead to work, But if you're putting yourself under a tremendous amount of stress, mm-hmm. if you're not sleeping, if you've right. maybe gained a lot of weight because of stress or right. because of poor eating habits. Mm-hmm. So hypnosis can be used to get you healthy right. for when you do eventually mm-hmm. retire. Because if you retire and you don't have your health, right. you don't have the ability to do much else. Right.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, riding a bike, swimming, playing tennis, golf, those things aren't right. going to happen if you've not done what you need to do in your 40s and 50s.
Right.
Because your health will be in a state where it's just not physically possible for maybe right. you to do those things. So if a person were to come in to you and say, you're a hypnotherapist and I need to get myself healthy, mm-hmm. how would you go about helping them define the areas they needed to work in?
Right. So the first thing that we would do is sit with, you know, what's going on in your life? What mm-hmm. are the areas that really need to be improved? And how are you going to feel when you reach those goals? What does it feel like to be healthy? How is your life going to be different? Because as a hypnotist, we need to know what they're looking to accomplish. Mm-hmm.
So if they said, I need to have a lot more energy and I need right. to sleep better.
Right. Okay. So those are good things that we can work with. So we'll go into a session, mm-hmm. right? And our body has a memory. So number one, we're going to tap back into what does that feel like to have that energy, showing them that it's still possible to have a high level of energy. And since that point in time where we can last remember that energy level, what changed? When did you stop feeling that level, that high level of energy?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, through the process of hypnosis and techniques that come up during the session, people are able to identify the exact moment, because your subconscious mind's there,
mm-hmm.
of when their thought process shifted into stop being healthy, stop doing things that I enjoy that created that healthy feeling. Then we can examine what was the belief system behind it. What did they start to believe? Maybe they didn't have time. Maybe they didn't have enough time to cook. Maybe they didn't have enough time to exercise, because we all know that life can get ahead of us.
Uh-huh.
And so what belief system did they begin to create about themselves then while they were making those decisions that they didn't have time? But now they do have time. So as a result of losing the interest in working out or eating healthy or the time factor, how has their life changed?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we bring that back in? And they can clearly see, I stopped eating healthy, I stopped exercising, even when I had time to do it, I just didn't feel like doing it anymore because I've conditioned myself to say I don't have enough time.
Right.
So that would be one start.
These programs, and I know that, you know, Walmart is on the bandwagon now, Target's mm-hmm. on the bandwagon, but I think a couple of years ago, I believe it was called The Apron.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
Blue Apron.
Blue Apron, yeah.
Yes.
And so, you
Amazon
know.
Amazon, too, I think.
Right,
yeah.
right. So, I mean, you can, if time is an issue, you can tap into some of those and actually end up saving money by using that as your grocery store, because
yes.
you're not tempted
right.
by just, you know, like, oh, that looks like it would be cool to try.
Right.
You've got a checklist. I need
yes.
this, and this, and you send it off to the store and they deliver it to you for a price. But you've saved time and you've probably saved some money, because I
right.
tend to be a shopper that if something is brand new and out, you know, and it looks good, mm-hmm. I will have a tendency to put it in the cart.
Yes.
So that would work for that end of it. And then if you get into something like Blue Apron, they have really created amazing recipes.
I know.
And
they ship it right to your door.
And they ship it right to your door. So that's yeah. another option.
I know that
for
some,
people.
Some of my family members have used it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're all busy now.
Right.
But we all want to stay healthy. And if we like to go to the supermarket, one rule of thumb is stay along the perimeter.
The perimeter of the
store. Stay away from the middle unless it's paper goods,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And just learning new techniques that are, some of us know, but some of us need to understand that a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So between, you know, understanding the thought process that occurred when people started to let go of their health and wellness,
right,
which is all unintentional, wanting to reinvite that back in, bringing in that feeling, bringing in new conditioning, new thoughts of what can I do, and then backing it up with some of these things, such as the Blue Apron, talking about skirting around, go to the farmer's market. People just need that that reminder, that incentive to feed, you know, the positive changes that they want to recreate.
Right. So would they be saying to themselves, I'm going to balance my plate with the rainbow, for instance?
And they could do that. Yeah. And what would they like to incorporate more into their diet? For some people, maybe it's fruit. For some, it's vegetables.
So how do you tell them to plant that seed is what I'm getting at? Because this is the discussion, but if they're going to use hypnotic-type suggestions,
right?
Are they doing this as they go to sleep?
So what we do is we enforce it in the hypnosis, right? And then at the end of the day, it's all about the self-talk again. So you can leave some of the goals that you're trying to reach, put it on your bathroom mirror, put it on your refrigerator, right?
Okay, because, so you see it.
Yeah, so that you see it, so that it's a visual aid for you.
Okay.
I oftentimes encourage my clients to record their sessions so that if they're falling asleep, they can listen to it, just a little bit more programming, their affirmation cards. And we want to talk as if it's happening now, not in the future. That's another thing.
So I'm going to... this is something that I've done, and you may have done as well if you're working with families that are resetting their child's self-image.
Right.
Because children are very receptive.
Yes.
And they can change who they think they are very quickly, actually.
Right.
But I know you've heard of this because we see it on a regular basis on maybe ads, or you might have talked to other families that are doing it. But if they're taking their lunch to school, or even if they wouldn't be taking their lunch, if you give them a little message every day, like, you're an amazing kid. Or
I used to do that with my own kids when they were growing up. In their lunchbox, there was a picture of, I have three daughters. So each child had their own picture of their mother and their daughter and, and themselves with a little message on the napkin for them. And they loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and they thought,
thinking about you. Hope you're having a great day.
It's just like a little extra surprise. And I do remember. Of course, sometimes you might forget. We're all human. Oh, I didn't get your note today.
Yes, exactly. But I mean, it is something that they look forward to. And if they have had a bad morning for whatever reason,
right,
when they go to lunch and they see that little message from mom,
right,
or dad or grandma or whoever is in the picture, you know, and if all of them are, that's awesome. But just a little surprise.
A little surprise during the day.
Right.
And as we can think about some of the eating habits that we can develop in our children, thinking about our childhood, what was the first thing that happened when you got home from school?
Oh, cookies and milk, usually.
Right. And so by the time you were in high school, what did you do after school?
Well, I didn't do that after school, but I'm trying to think what I did too. I probably grabbed a soda and headed for, you know, the desk, because I always had a lot of homework.
Right. But it was always go to the refrigerator first.
Right.
And then go for what was next.
Right.
And so... so you see the pattern of when we're from, let's say, children are going to school from 2 years old now, 3 years old in preschool, and getting a snack every day after school when you come home, that's conditioning. That's programming your internal hard drive to automatically go to the refrigerator when you get home.
So you could still go to the refrigerator, but,
It can
would be
healthy.
Grapes, an apple.
It would be
carrot
a
sticks.
Conscious awareness of,
right.
I know why I'm going to the refrigerator, but you can also say to yourself, am I hungry? Am I even hungry right now, or do I just need some water?
Right.
You know, once you start to understand...
talking to your body.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go to the refrigerator, but we've always gone to the refrigerator.
Right, right.
So it sort of sets up the pattern, which, you know, becomes life,
So the... hypnotic part of health would be in part to teach people to be aware of the thoughts that they're using to program their minds currently, and then to replace those thoughts, if they're not healthy thoughts, right, with ones that are.
Correct. So we have, the self-talk is sort of like a background, and self-hypnosis is extremely beneficial for people who want to make change in any area of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's just reframing and re-talking to our subconscious mind, which is just talking in your head,
mm-hmm,
because the thoughts that you say become real.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we start to say, I can do this, this is easy. Actually, I'm eating healthy all day today. Look at that, isn't that great? Actually, I'm one step closer to that job interview that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep repeating that until it actually just becomes what you say to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. just through more repetitive behavior.
So going back to maybe a healthier diet, a healthier weight, so that you have more energy to do the things you want to do, that self-talk might be, congratulations, you know,
yes,
you've now lost 2 pounds.
Right.
You know, not, oh my gosh, you still have 20 to go.
Right, and a lot of people work better in percentages, too.
Mm-hmm. You've lost 2%
or 10%, whatever. Yeah,
right, right.
And so that makes it a little less daunting.
Mm-hmm.
And even you can congratulate yourself. You can...
You walked away from dessert today.
You walked away from dessert. I only need to lose 1 pound.
Mm-hmm.
We can only lose 1 pound at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We can't lose 100 pounds or 5 in one day.
Right.
But if we say, I only need to lose 1 pound... it makes it seem easier.
Right.
And
right.
We're humans, we don't like anything to be difficult.
Right.
When and it comes to that.
You know, one of the things that I see too often, and you've probably seen it as well, are people that their doctors say, you need to lose weight, you're mm-hmm. pre-diabetic, or your blood pressure is way too high. And they're so quick, I think, to provide medication.
Right.
Rather than to sit and talk with the person about
right.
how can I help you as your physician
right.
reach a healthier weight.
Right.
And to maybe talk about, you know, you might want to think about hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to think about, you know, a coach,
a
life coach,
yes.
a nutritionist, somebody
right.
to assist you rather than just giving the verdict.
Giving you the label.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, you're diabetic now. Good luck. Call, you know,
yeah.
here's your prescription.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, we need to start to formulate better teams in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that, you know, if the doctors aren't doing it, then we owe it to ourselves to find the people that we can get to help us get
mm-hmm.
there. As far as here's your doctor, he's given you the diagnosis, here's a nutritionist that you really like to work with, maybe getting to the gym and speaking with a personal trainer to start to get into
right.
better physical strength.
Right.
Because, you know, we're going to need that strength as we go on in our years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can think about it as helping our children out. You know, we're doing our
right.
children a service.
Right, because you can be independent longer.
Yes, right.
right.
And you don't need the help moving around as much. But
right.
it really just makes your life that much better when you're feeling physically and emotionally well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What about somebody who really, really has trouble with sleeping? And, you know, I mean, there are things that obviously you can do in terms of no television in the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
Take your cell phone and plug it in someplace else if you need
right.
to, put it on silence. Again, using hypnosis self-talk,
right.
what would you be saying to that individual to help them, not just the particulars that they need to do, but with the self-talk?
Yeah, so a lot of times our thoughts keep us awake and prevent
mm-hmm.
us from sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And so at bedtime, what I've been teaching a lot of my clients is when you're going to bed, the first thing that you can do is begin to redirect your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the thoughts go through, what did I not do right today? What do I have to do tomorrow? Oh, I hope that person didn't misunderstand my comment. Whatever it is, right? There's a list of things that go on up there that none of them are positive. And we talk about that. And then I talk about shifting your attention to looking for the one thing that gave you joy today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we can start to think about something that was nice and fun, we're setting ourselves up to be relaxed,
right?
Feeling lighter rather than tense.
Right.
Because those other thoughts don't do any good for us. They just upset us.
Right.
And we can't settle down when we're thinking about that old negative list of things.
Mm-hmm.
But if we redirect our thoughts, first of all, to something joyful, loving, or happy, that's one thing. So shifting the attention, becoming mindful. Oh, I love my bed. Feel these sheets upon my skin. Really becoming present in what you're doing is another step. And you're starting to relax, and you're starting to feel yourself settling in. Oh, this, I feel so comfortable. My body feels really at rest.
Mm-hmm.
Setting the stage for relaxation to start to happen. And as you settle down from there, you can do several things. You can start to relax each body part, sending intentional focus onto relaxing, starting with the feet, moving all the way up, starting with the thoughts of, I'm going to sleep now. You're suggesting to your subconscious mind, this is the activity that's going to take place. Go into deep breathing techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really becoming more focused in what does it feel like to be relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
If our thoughts are going on, oh, I can never fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be up all night. What do you think you're doing? You're telling yourself right now. You're actually keeping yourself awake with those thoughts.
With those thoughts, exactly.
So you need to, become mindful of your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and then choose better words.
Right.
So allow myself to go deeper and deeper into relaxation. My body's starting to sleep. I'm settling down for the night. And your body will respond.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is tell it what you want it to do.
Right. One of the things that many years ago, we had an English Springer Spaniel that snored very badly. And my husband at the time was snoring a lot as well. And I would just get settled, and one of them would start. And if it was Diamond, I would get up and I would reposition her because she had her bed beside me. And then if it was my husband, then, I would reposition him. And so this was going on for hours sometimes. And so there was a store in downtown Chicago on Michigan Avenue, and I think it's still there, called Hemmacher Schlimmer. And they have a catalog. You can actually go online.
I've seen that catalog. Yes. Yeah, they've got really cool things in
there. Oh, they do. They have just amazing, you can't find them anyplace else kind of things. But back then, I was not aware of sound machines. And so I was in Chicago and I was in the store and I saw the sound machine and I thought, wow, that's perfect. And it had the sound of waves,
mm-hmm.
or the sound of rain, but there were other sounds as well. But some were, birds and things that would keep me distracted.
Right.
But rain or the sound of waves coming onto a shore were very, very relaxing. Mm-hmm. And I found that as soon as I would turn that sound machine on, regardless of what, Diamond or my husband were doing, I would be asleep.
Right.
It was just like I told myself, there, I'm in my peaceful place,
right.
and I'm sound asleep. And even today, years later,
mm-hmm.
once I turn the sound machine on, I'm gone.
Right.
I mean, I don't have to do anything other than turn it on, get into bed, and I'm gone.
Right. And it's finding what works for
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's individual, and they have different things that they need to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody come in for hypnosis one time and said they wanted the music in the background because I always put some music on. Well, is there anything in particular this person that liked? For whatever reason, that question came up. Yes, I would like you to play the sound of a train on the tracks.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that is not what I'd want to listen to, but the rhythmic sound of the train over the tracks.
Sure.
And I thought, okay, whatever works for this person, because we're all different.
Sure.
So I said that was the first for me, but it worked perfectly well for this client.
Right.
And, you learn new things by people all the time. Right.
How interesting. Oh, maybe there was a track that, he heard as a child or she heard as a child.
Yeah, it was on it traveling a lot as a child.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that we can do if we don't have access to sound in the room because there are other people sleeping there,
mm-hmm.
we can start to get in tune with our breath.
Mm-hmm.
And we may notice if we are insomniacs that we're chest breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Rather than
belly breathing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Allow your mind to become familiar with the body.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe deep into the diaphragm. Start to notice the rise and fall of the diaphragm as you fill your body up with air.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can put your hand there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really getting you in tune to teaching your body what you wanted to do.
Right.
Teaching your mind what you wanted to do, because you can achieve whatever you wish.
Right. With little kids that I was working with, I used to have them lay on the floor, and I would put a dictionary on top of their stomach because they didn't understand. They kept raising their shoulders and thinking they were deep breathing if they were raising their shoulders. And I was like, no, lay down on the floor. And so they could feel the weight of the book. And I said, you know, when you push against the book, when you feel the book go up, that's belly breathing.
Right.
And then they could figure it out. And then that way, if they were getting anxious in the classroom, they could put their hand on their belly and start doing that breathing, because it would train them to go back there.
And it's great to, you know, a lot of people need those visuals, the sense, the sound, the smell, the touch.
Yep.
Everybody's got different ways of learning. But then once we learn what works for us, we can start to incorporate that in until it's habit.
That's true.
And I remember being in high school, having a hard time falling asleep in the teenage years. And I had taken a psychology class in high school. And they did talk about hypnosis there. Mm-hmm. And they did talk about meditation. And I thought, I believe they suggested one word as a mantra. I didn't know it to be a mantra then, but one word. And I would go to sleep at night and I would think of blackness. Blackness, deeper, deeper, like just to block it all out in my mind. And as a result of that, I could tell you, anybody who knows me well enough will know I am in a sleep and there better be a loud fire alarm to wake me up. As a result, I really don't dream that often, but I'm in the blackness, I'm in the zone, and it's just repeating one word over and over and over. And before you know it, you are not having any problems at all.
Right. And I think that for me, the sound machine is, you know, instead of a word, it's the sound that does it to me. So I'm right there in the water.
And you found, yeah. And I didn't really know that I was developing a lifelong skill. I guess some people say you're so lucky. And I guess I really am, because when I'm tired and I want to go to bed, I have no problem falling asleep. Just, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. And I'm sort of out until the morning. But I didn't know. But it was conditioning, practice over and over and over. Blackness, blackness. A thought would come in. No, there's blackness.
Yeah.
Just go deeper and deeper. And your brain just accepts it to be what you want to do when you're in this position.
She's telling me to go to sleep.
Yeah, she's telling me to go to sleep. But your brain knows that's what it means, because it can connect the dots.
Right. Yeah. And that really is, and you know, again, back to Synergy Connection Show, it is connecting these dots that we see our wellness is our physical wellness, but it's also our emotional wellness, because if emotions are keeping you awake, it impacts your physical wellness, obviously.
Right.
If you're undergoing tremendous mental stress, that's going to affect your emotions, which in turn affect your physical well-being.
Right.
And then, you know, that final little strand is the spiritual part. And if we are feeling totally disconnected from who we are spiritually, that impacts who we are in our totality as well.
Right.
So I think a lot of people think of, you know, us as human beings as just this one linear person, you know, with a lot of cells, but that's all that we are, and we are so much more.
Right. I mean, if you look at it, how many different roles do we play in our life? Right?
Many.
Many roles, and we wear many hats with those roles.
Right.
And so even going to sleep, we have to do something for ourselves. We have to be the person that gets us there.
Right. Right?
It's up to us when we decide to go to bed.
Right.
Nobody else needs to tell us. One thing, quick funny thing, I was sitting up the other night, I was exceptionally tired, and I think it was 7 o'clock at night. I was by myself, and I was forcing myself to stay up until 8 o'clock. Why couldn't I just go to bed then? Right. And I said, you know, I don't know why I'm gonna go to bed, but it's almost like giving yourself permission. I don't need to be up till 8 o'clock. If I'm tired, we go to bed when we're tired.
Right.
But
and kids do that. I mean, like, look at the teenagers who will just, you know, go in and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, they're right. going to sleep for 3 or 4 hours. They may be up a lot later, right. but they listen to their bodies.
Right.
We don't always get a chance to do that right. because of our work schedule.
Right.
You know, and so it might be that, oh, I'm feeling tired at 2:30 in the afternoon, but whoops.
Can't take a nap now.
Right.
Right. And so if we come home from work and we have dinner and we want to start to settle down and transition into bedtime,
mm-hmm.
is it really good to be working from the minute we have dinner till the time we go to bed?
Right.
Maybe we start to give our bodies signals that we're going to settle down now.
Right.
Start to slow down for the evening. What do we need to do to settle down at night? Do
uh-huh.
we want to sit and watch television? Maybe we want to go outside and have a nice refreshing walk.
Right.
Right. Change things up. Change things up and start to unwind for the day.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, that starts to settle your mind and your body down.
Mm-hmm.
Just reconnecting. Why are we really here? We're not here to be stressed out all the time.
No, we're not. And but, you know, I think, again, that becomes a very difficult thing for the majority of people to find that peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, for you and I, we live in Pinellas County.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the more crowded counties in all of Florida. So you put 4.5 million people
mm-hmm.
in a small area, and I'm sure many people would say everybody gets on everybody's nerves because we're just, you know, like, whereas if we, it was maybe, I don't know, 50 years ago and mm-hmm. you were living here, it was probably a lot more peaceful. Tampa
oh,
Road
absolutely.
At that time was a dirt road.
And I had heard, I mean, I'm only in the area for a year and a half or
mm-hmm.
so, and I heard, you know, I see all these oranges
mm-hmm.
on all the buildings, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, especially
just,
in Dunedin.
Especially in Dunedin. And I'm thinking, isn't that beautiful? And I'm, you know, understanding that it's, you know, part of the Citric history.
Mm-hmm.
And I only found out recently that Curlew Road
mm-hmm.
was an
orchard.
Grove, an
yeah,
orchard.
It was an orchard, yeah.
And I had a client in recently, and I had been using oils, essential
mm-hmm.
oils.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I only had orange in my office at that day.
Uh-huh.
So I took it out and she said, it reminds me of when I was a child.
Oh, how interesting.
I lived around, I grew
yeah,
up here.
Yeah, right.
And in the morning, that's all that you could smell. Can
right.
you imagine that wafting in your windows?
Oh.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be. I just recently watched the movie Cross Creek, which
uh-huh.
is Marjorie Rawlings. That's up in Micanopy.
Okay.
She wrote The Yearling. It won the Pulitzer
oh, okay,
Prize.
Yes.
And Cross Creek was one of her books.
Mm-hmm.
And so the movie was done back in the, I think, the late 50s. And they, you know, still have it out. But I had
mm-hmm.
gone up there to see her home.
Uh-huh.
And the
nice.
Movie just made it so real.
Right.
But yeah, she had an orange orchard. And she bought it sight unseen from New York.
Oh,
and
wow.
moved down to a town of Cross Creek that had 12 people in it. And it was like out on the bayous kind of, you know, situation.
Shell shock. Right.
Well, she loved it. And
right.
Because as a writer, she wanted that kind of privacy
peace.
And
tranquility
right.
and connecting.
Right.
And I, you know, you can't imagine it now, but it must have been really beautiful.
I think so. And there is a place, I don't think you've gone yet, so I'll tell you about it, and anybody who's listening can go there too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called Bricker Creek. Are
oh.
you familiar with it?
I think it's in, I'm reading this book called Freaky Florida. I
think
it's
okay.
in there.
It's in there, well.
I think it's in there.
Bricker if you Creek. Take, off of Highway 19, if you
mm-hmm.
take Tarpon Road,
okay.
and you go east, and you go maybe about 5 miles,
mm-hmm.
Bricker Creek actually is still acres and acres and acres of land.
Mm-hmm.
But at the actual park, you wind your way through and you can get back into the historical center. And it's beautiful. They
oh.
have butterflies and all kinds of stuff back there. But there's a film and you sit on these little benches. And it's the most unusual film I've ever seen because it's like the people are there. The way they did this film,
oh.
it's as though they're walking towards you. And it goes back in history.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually understand what it was like when Florida was being settled and when these orange groves were going in. And the young lady who, at the beginning of the film, is talking, and she's thinking about selling this land to developers who will
oh.
turn it into homes and everything else.
Oh.
And as she begins to understand the history,
mm-hmm.
she realizes, no, this has to be preserved.
Right.
And that's what she does. Right. But the film is about a 15, maybe 20-minute film.
Right.
And you walk away feeling like, oh my gosh, I really understand Florida better and what it right. must have been like to live, you know, in the very beginning.
That's interesting. I'll have to check that out. So yeah. it's up Tarpon Road.
Yeah, you take Tarpon Road east.
East.
You'll cross over McMullen Booth.
Okay.
For anybody listening that knows this area. And you keep going about 3 miles on the other side of McMullen Booth.
Okay.
You just keep going east, and you'll see signs for it. But it is a park. It's a local state park.
Oh, that
and
sounds
it's,
like fun. Yeah, we've been doing a lot of exploring because I like to get familiar with the area, so that's mm-hmm. something that's a little bit closer
yes,
than
yeah,
a tank pole.
Yes, there's a lot of things. You can go down into where Park Boulevard is, you know, a little further south, mm-hmm. and there's an area called Whedon Island, it's all Native American.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'll have to educate you.
Yes, but I do need that education.
There are a lot of places to understand this area and the whole state of Florida, you know, on a much better level. And I think, you know, the books that you're going to go get, the One mm-hmm. Tank Trip books, are a wonderful way to do it because there's nothing really that is too far away. Now, if you start mm-hmm. going down to the Keys, yes, you can't go down there and back mm-hmm. in a day.
Right, right.
Or Miami or, you know, even the East Coast, it's mm-hmm. not very likely that you're going to, you know,
come
go
back
over to the East
day.
Coast. And mm-hmm. But those are, you know, like weekend trips, maybe,
right.
if you're still working or if you're not working, you know, you can go over and spend the night and then come
right.
back.
Yeah, I've been to Key West on one of the Tampa cruises,
mm-hmm.
but only for a day,
mm-hmm.
and I really would like to explore a little bit more of the history, but
yeah.
it is a little bit far for a day trip.
No, it would definitely.
I think that strip from Miami down to Key West is how long?
You mean miles or how long?
I mean, like,
time?
How long? Yeah, how much time?
From Miami down, I think they say, depending on traffic, you know, it can be 4 to 5 hours to go
wow.
from the beginning all the way
all
down
the way to the
Key
end.
West.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's you've got Esmeralda and Marathon and, you
right.
know, a lot of little towns along the way.
Right.
But, you know, it's still narrow and it's not a super highway, so you
right.
can't go very fast.
It's a scenic route.
It's a scenic route. It
yeah, I love the
is.
Scenic route. And that's very therapeutic as well.
Right. And I think if people are trying to find their happy place,
mm-hmm.
if you will, or if they haven't had a lot of peaceful, happy thoughts recently,
mm-hmm.
you know, go plug into nature. Go
right.
to all of these little parks that we do have. Look
right.
for the butterflies. Look for the fish. Look for
right.
the birds. Look for the sunsets.
Yes,
you know?
Look for these things because
right.
they're waiting for, they're there for us.
They are. And
always there.
Right. And so much better than medication.
Right.
So
oh, yes.
So much better than medication. So people that are, you know, having been a therapist for over 30 years, you know, people that are stressed, all they have to do is open their eyes and breathe.
Yes, and come out of themselves
yes,
for just a minute.
All they have to do.
I mean, whoever feels bad looking at a rainbow.
I don't think anybody does.
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
sometimes you're lucky enough to see double ones.
I know.
Yeah.
You just have to lift your head up.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So I want you to, again, share with people, you know, that hypnosis can be used for insomnia, for weight, for health issues, controlling pain.
Right.
Levels, all of those things, which we didn't get into. But where can they find you again?
Yes, you can find me over at East West Healing Solutions, 34876 U.S. Highway 19 in Palm Harbor. You can contact me by phone at 631-942-0506 or by email at patricia@thejewelsofknowledge.com. You can find my website also at thejewelsofknowledge.com.
Okay, so there's lots of different ways that people can get in touch with
yes.
you. And by doing so, they're going to learn how to maybe get themselves into a much healthier place
right.
emotionally and physically,
right.
Certainly. And then you also do past life readings.
Yes, I do.
So if somebody would like to find out more about that, what's the best place for them to reach you for that in particular?
So I would say they can give me a call and we can talk about setting up an appointment for them to come in and explore their past life. That's a joint effort
yeah.
between myself and the client.
Okay.
So they can call me at 631-942-0506. I can also be reached by the email, which is another good option if they can't call.
Okay.
Email is a good backup.
Okay. Because I think more and more people are curious as to, was I here before?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of times.
And sometimes we carry with us
right,
all
I was
of that
say.
Baggage.
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to the show. If there is a person who you feel would benefit by listening and they weren't able to hear us live, please go to synergyconnectionradio.com. The show will be up later this afternoon, and that is my website. And go out there and make this your best life. Thank you so much.